Good morning and welcome back to the Mike Blog Bible Reading Podcast. I am Mike, and this morning we are going to be covering Genesis chapter 28. Now, if you remember in the last episode of the podcast, when we covered Genesis chapter 27, we mentioned right at the end of that chapter that there was a thing that went on between Isaac and Rebekah where Rebekah was saying that she was tired of the wives of her older son Esau, and she complained that she would hate it if her son Jacob took a wife from that area. And in case you didn't realize, we're just jumping straight into this thing. So we pointed to that in the last chapter as kind of an opening that she was making for Jacob to be able to get out of Dodge. So here in Genesis chapter 28, we're picking up that story. It really hasn't shifted gears. It's really the same story that's continuing to go on. So Genesis chapter 28. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." Again, this is happening because he and his wife really, really, really did not like his older son Esau's wives. They really, really did not like those girls. And they wanted Jacob to get a wife from where Abraham had come from Abraham's family. So verse 2, "Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Now may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he also give you the blessing of Abraham, to you and to your descendants with you, that you may bless the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham." Okay, so he sends him off with a blessing. Go to Laban, go to your mother's brother, and get a wife from that family. That's the tradition that this family had been following, and it was important to them because it made sure that the spouses for the kids would have the same sorts of values that the rest of the family did. It's a value thing. That's the importance here. Okay, then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take to himself a wife from there, and that when he blessed him in charge and charged him, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan," and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. So Esau sees what's all going on here. So Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan displeased his father Isaac. And Esau went to Ishmael and married, besides the wives he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. So Esau attempts to cover over the displeasure that his parents have with his two current wives by adding a third one, because I'm sure they will all get along and no one will fight. And instead of going to his extended family like they sent Jacob to do, he goes to his family on his uncle's side. Because remember, Ishmael would have been Esau's uncle. The thing is, Ishmael was cut off from the family because it was not part of God's plan for Ishmael's descendants and for Isaac's descendants to live in the same place. So Esau is trying to fix this issue that he's caused with his wives, only he's making everything worse as he goes along. Poor guy. Okay, verse 10. "Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun has set, and he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and in your descendants, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So here is the Lord specifically passing on to Jacob the promise that he had passed on to Isaac and the promise that he had originally given to Abraham. And it's a great promise because God promises he is going to fulfill it no matter what. He's absolutely, staked this plan out, and he will not change it, and he will not allow Jacob to fail in it. Okay, verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob didn't realize what was going on here. He thought this was about the place. He didn't realize that this was about the person. This was about the relationship between him and God. But he mistakenly decides that this is about the place, and he just kind of rolls with that. So Jacob arose early in the morning, verse 18, and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously, the name of that city had been Luz, and Bethel means the house of God. Now, Bethel was, that name was going to stick as far as the Hebrews were concerned, but he really is not correct. He really isn't correct in thinking that this is about the place. This is about the God who will not leave him. Remember, this is about the God who wants to make that ladder going into heaven, and that ladder is going to come from whom? That ladder is going to be Christ. That ladder is going to be one of the descendants of Jacob, through which people will be able to have communion with God. That's the thing that was being expressed there. That's the thing that was being promised there, except Jacob doesn't see it. He just sees the place. He just sees that this place is holy, so he just rolls with that. Okay. Verse 20, then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God." So Jacob has always been a wheeler and dealer, and this is exactly what he does here. This is well within his character. He decides to make an agreement with God and says, okay, I'll worship God if he does all these things. I'll worship God so long as he, promises, or he keeps his promise, and, make sure that I, don't get hungry, make sure that I don't have any problems, and, make sure that I get back to my father's house safely and nothing goes bad. Well, the thing is, that's not really how real life works. And that's not how God works. We don't make deals with God. God is the one who made the covenant unilaterally with Abraham and said, "Look, I'm promising to do this. This is on me." Abraham just got to go with it. But we worship the Lord because the Lord is worthy of worship, not because the Lord promises to make everything easy and comfortable and simple for us. So here, Jacob is expecting something that he's not going to get. Now, we do have to remember that Jacob is, in fact, somebody who is concerned with spiritual things. He doesn't wake up in the morning and just go, "Meh, that was a weird dream. I wonder what happened there. I must have eaten something strange." No, he does have a spiritual dimension to his life, and I think he is somebody who is trying to figure out, his relationship with God, because this is a thing that he's, heard about all of his life for sure, because it was such a big deal to his father and such a big deal to his grandfather. So I think the deal with Isaac here is that he just has a very, very immature version of what he thinks worship is about. He thinks worship is about, being dedicated to a God so that that God can give him a life of convenience. When in reality, worship is about worshiping God because God is the only one worthy of worship, and he deserves that worship from us. So, we will see Jacob's attitude change, but he's going to go through some stuff, which is, you know, how God changes a lot of our attitudes, really. Okay, and then the last verse, "This stone, which I have set up as a pillar, will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Now, this is not the institution of the tithe. This, in fact, is, I believe this is the second mention of the tithe, but it was actually Abraham who gave the first tithe recorded in the Bible to Melchizedek after he had defeated the five kings that had captured his nephew Lot. So Jacob is not inventing the tithe. Jacob is not tying the tithe to receiving, you know, the favor of God. Abraham is the one who tied the tithe, in the Bible at least, to worship. So the tithe is about worship. The tithe is not about keeping some kind of a deal with God. The tithe is not a bargaining chip with God. God doesn't need a tenth of everything we have because he gives us everything that we have. If he needed it, he would just keep it for himself, but he doesn't need any of it anyway. So this is kind of a ridiculous thing that Jacob is doing. And it's, you know, not something that we're supposed to emulate. But look, here's the deal with the Bible. The Bible does not cover up the failures of the people that are in it. We are reading this about Jacob so that we can see the way that Jacob changes. We're reading this about Jacob so that we can compare it at this early portion of his life to the way he will be in the later portion of his life when God has changed him. Because we go through the same change. We all try to bargain with God at some point in time and we say, okay, I'll be dedicated if only you will, you know, make this thing easy in my life. And if only you will, you know, simplify this problem that I'm having. And God doesn't buy it. God is God and he will be our God. And that's a thing he does. But God changes us from bargainers into worshipers. And that's a change that's going to happen to Jacob. And we're going to see it in the coming episodes as it unfolds. So that there is Genesis chapter 28. I'm going to go ahead and stop here because I don't have time for Genesis 29 this morning. I'm actually trying to wrap this recording up kind of quick because my wife is coming home at any moment and the sound of the garage door opener will totally spoil the recording because it's really loud in this room. So I will sign off here. Thank you for listening to the Mike Blog Morning Bible Podcast. Well, it's really the Mike Blog Any Time of Day Bible Podcast, depending on when you listen to it. But I record it in the mornings. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your comments. I have talked to some of you listeners out there, and it's been very, very encouraging to hear that this podcast is a help to some people. So thank you for listening. Share the podcast with people that you know that you think might benefit from it. And, you know, comment on the website or on Facebook or wherever you listen to this. And we can talk about your thoughts on the Bible. And I will sign off here. This has been the Mike Blog Bible Reading Podcast. I have been Mike, and I will see you later.